With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
That's all I have to say because we have a legit intro now, right?
You had so much of a chance to like give that energy to the intro, and now you've wasted all of it. And now this intro is going to be like zero energy. Typical time.
It is recording now, so this will be included, okay. Ty. Yeah.
And welcome to episode 59 of the Talking Hockey Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite. Producer Luke here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
Yeah. And we're back.
That just felt fake and forced.
Yeah, that's it, Ty. That's all you had to do, buddy. That's,
oh, that man. Was welcome. That was
I love that our cold intros are really good.
It wasn't what? Forced.
Yeah. Ty doesn't force a lot of things. Ty only forces love towards others.
And they don't return it.
Yeah. That's the cause of a lot of his trauma.
It's a cause of all of his trauma. Apparently,
he just got really sad.
Hey, you should be in our group chats, Martin. Martin, you should be in our group chats. They get pretty sad sometimes.
I don't want to be.
Martin's the complete opposite of that. I wish you guys could see me and Martin's conversation from a couple of days ago.
I'm sure if you open up about anything, Martin just R-bombs until you're recovered.
Dude, Martin, oh my lord. Martin's about to go on a freaking tear.
It's just my way of covering up for my sadness.
Yeah. Honestly, Martin's more sad than anyone else. He just covers it up better. And hey, puts buddy. The pain aside with alcohol and women and
money
sports
pussy
betting
alcohol?
Cards and sports sports cards.
Martin, you should I know a really good podcast for you actually. It's called the Imperfect Pod. You should check it out. You might find some healing.
Yeah, I
agree. Might learn some stuff about how to deal with sadness.
I had a couple after Eric shared the quote I had last week on story. I had a couple people message me being like, you know, I don't actually listen to your show, but it's cool the conversations that you have. And I'm like, thank you.
Really?
Appreciate that. Yeah.
That actually happened?
I was Hate Talking like Hockey
followers?
Was one of them. Yeah.
Oh.
I Hate Talking Hockey was one of them. He's like, I just want to tell
anyone
you.
Anyone else?
No.
Or was it just him?
Just him.
Oh, okay. Now that's sad. Man. I was so excited. I was like, did I actually like send some people
So
over?
Basically, I messaged like... myself is what I'm saying.
Oh, man. It's also like with the other day when Nick had his merch, his TikTok merch. Like, Nick, did anybody buy your TikTok merch? He's like, yeah, 13 people did, but only one wasn't my family members.
Oh, man. Anything helps for your first stuff, okay? Respect the hustle.
No, you know what? Everyone's got to start somewhere. When we first released the hockey, the fantasy ebook, I don't think we sold any on the first day, to be fair. We ended up selling like $8,000 or $9,000 worth, but at the very beginning.
We need you, though. You sold them. Yeah, humble brag.
Yeah. Anyways, today on the show, we're going to talk about Marlowe, Nylander, women's OHL, women's hockey getting canceled, OHL getting canceled, and then maybe some other stuff. If you know us, we'll kind of just flow into random different things.
We started with therapy time, so.
Yeah, I know Ty's going to talk about goaltending at some point.
Can we talk about how my fantasy team's about to make the finals?
Really? The one, our league?
I'm fucking killing Walker. It's awesome.
Oh. Okay, you owe me half that prize money if you make it, because I'm the one that defeated the guy that got you.
No. He didn't read your book.
You just did your fucking job, man.
I didn't have to do my job, Martin. I did it for you. Okay?
I thought that Eric's team was all injured and he got skewered, so he just stopped sending his lineup.
I literally stopped. I didn't do it in weeks. And then Martin messaged me. He's like, I need you to beat this one guy and do your lineup. So I was like, fine. And I did all my lineups the entire week. And then he kept going, no, you should put this guy instead. And I was like, okay, fine. Did it. And I beat him. And then Martin made him.
And there's room.
You know what, Martin? That was a lot of work. I want to be I want to be compensated for my time. I charge $40 an hour.
$2.
So you owe me $40. You'll be my money back. My money back for the league.
That you paid like super late.
Yeah. Anyways, back to hockey.
Okay. Patrick Marleau just broke the all-time games played record. And people were mad online about it.
He should have stopped. He should have stopped at 1767 or whatever it is. So be out of respect for Gordie Howe.
Did 1767,
yeah.
Yeah, people said that. Yeah. Steve Simmons said it. There's another reporter who said it. Where
Rosie DiManio?
Yeah, yeah. She was like, there's this one, I don't even know who it is. I don't read newspapers, but this one dude wrote 10,000 articles. So if I ever got to 9,999, I would just stop writing. I would never write another one because this guy's a legend. Yeah.
So stupid.
That's really stupid.
So like, stupid. Like really dumb. I don't even understand how they came up with that argument.
That's like saying, okay, Mario Lemieux got injured. He had a short career. I'm going to stop at whatever game was before 887 just because I love Lemieux so much. And I'm like, that's dumb. Yeah. If you love the sport, keep playing.
That's like a dumb hockey thing. That's a dumb hockey people thing.
It's a dumb people thing. I don't even – I'm not even going to – I blame hockey for a lot of things. I'm not blaming hockey for this one. But I don't know how many people was it. Was it like just those two journalists? Because I did see some other people tweeting like it's not actually impressive that Marleau made it to 1,768 games played or whatever that number is because – he isn't a good player anymore. He's not really an NHL player. He has 8 points.
The Sharks gave it to him.
The Sharks are just giving it to him.
He hasn't missed a game since 2009.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
It's fucking ridiculous. He's got an Ironman record too, bro. It's 42 with an Ironman record.
Those people need to shut up.
Yeah. Also, Marleau's playing in like a real league. Gordie Howe, I'm sorry. Those guys would like try to kill you, but the talent wasn't there. They're trying to kill each other, but
aggressive.
Yeah.
Ty, when's your birthday?
It wasn't a real.
My birthday?
Yeah, September 15th, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You have the same birthday as Marleau.
Oh, look at you. Well,
that's cute.
A lot of great people were born on that day. What can I say?
Some greater than others, but Ty's up there. For sure. Ty's up there.
He's going to knock the record out of the water, too. Like, he wants to play next year. I don't know if he will. Like,
I think he's going to keep playing. And is he going to be like Yager? Just keep playing and playing and playing until, I don't know, you're literally a grandpa. Because Yager's still playing in the Czech Republic, right? Like,
the thing is, Yager was a lot better than Marleau was at, 40, whatever age he was at. Like when he left the NHL, he was better than what Marleau is right now. To be like completely fair to the people that are like, this isn't that. It is super impressive and they are making garbage arguments, but Yager was definitely better than where Marleau is right now. I do agree. Marleau is, he's teetering on the edge of still really being an NHL player.
Yeah. But like I think for San Jose's sake, like a league minimum guy who can still play and it means so much to the franchise in a year where when they're not really competing and he's not really hurting the team, I'd say, right? Like, I don't know. He's taking someone's roster spot at this point and they could be a contending team if they just stop playing him.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like he's taking the ice time away from a legitimate prospect that, deserves time but isn't getting it because they're playing.
It would also be cool if he won a Stanley Cup next year or something. Like, got traded.
I mean, he went chasing and it didn't work out very well, so.
But that did not work out well at all.
But like, he still wants to win, obviously. Like,
if he wants to win, he should sign with Carolina because the Carolina is going to win either next year.
Honestly, he's never going to win at this point because there's no NHL competitive team that would have him in
the starting team. For sure.
Yeah. unfortunately for him. Not that he, you know, I would still take him on a team, but I wouldn't want to give him any minutes.
Did you guys know when he went to Toronto that they wanted both him and Thornton to go?
Yeah.
Thornton was going to, but then Lou would have made him shave his beard.
You think that's the reason? The only reason?
Well, probably. I don't know.
You think the Leafs would have a cup right now if they had Thornton and Marleau?
I think the Leafs would have a cup right now if Lou Lamoriello and Mark Hunter stayed around and Dubas was fired.
Hey, no, I'm kidding. The Islanders could win a cup before Toronto does.
That's because of Barry Trotz, not because of Lou Lamoriello.
Who hired Barry Trotz?
I don't know how much credit you get for it. You get credit for it, but relax. You know? Okay, so Joe Thornton was still really good.
He was really good that year. Yeah. He would have been a great signing. Yeah.
Wait, did Marleau sign in 2016? Was it?
I think so. Yeah, no. It was the year before Tavares, wasn't it?
God, I don't even know.
He signed for 3 years. 2017 was the year he signed.
Yeah. Okay, so if him and Thornton came at the same time, Thornton still had a 51 point pace year the year after that. So,
and then I think Thornton tore his ACL. That's 47
games.
He tore his ACL 1 year.
Yeah, no, he was still performing very well.
So, question: do you think Patrick Marleau is a Hockey Hall of Famer?
Yes,
that was a debate.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
because he's been a good player for what's it down 20 years, 22 years.
His first NHL season was 1997, so the year after we were born.
Yeah, he was like, I was like one NHL when he got drafted, I think.
So 25 years, basically.
That's incredible. That's incredible, man.
And he had two seasons because of the lockout, and
it's some stupid amount of players, like 150 players that he has played in the league longer than they were born, like before they were born. It's like 150 or 160 players.
I saw something that he's played of the NHL players that have ever played. He's played like, I don't know, some ridiculous stat.
I'm gonna pull that up.
Like 30%.
I forget what it was. Yeah. 60%, 40%.
He's played with, oh God, I lost it. I was trying to find it. Idiot. Anyways, not important.
If he were a Hockey Hall of Famer, though, he would be there simply just because of the longevity of his career. He's been a good player for sure. Good player, not debating that. But the Hockey Hall of Fame is supposed to be for the amazing, you know, superstar generational players. I wouldn't argue that Marleau's ever really been a superstar. Like, I mean, there were the years where Thornton, Heatley, you know, were killing it on the San Jose Sharks, and Jonathan Chichu back when he scored like 56 goals or something like that, that one random year.
You're right. Like, he's had a couple point per game years, but other than that, he's never been like, he had a couple of elite seasons, but he wasn't superstar. He was never a superstar.
No.
Really?
No.
Yeah, so you're right on that. He's mostly making it because longevity. There's nothing wrong with that too.
I think there's just as much argument.
Like,
yeah, but I think there's as much argument to say that he shouldn't be in the NHL as like he should, in the Hockey Hall of Fame as he should. I think he gets in probably more off of his Olympic golds and like though that play. I mean, 560 goals, pretty elite stuff, but I mean, I don't know. I think there's as much of an argument to keep him out of the Hockey Hall of Fame as there is to put him in.
I don't mean to bring up Steve Simmons, but he pointed out that Marleau once finished ninth in the Hart Trophy race. That's kind of the only credit to his name, I guess, in regards to accomplishments in the NHL.
Yeah, he had 140 goal year.
Doesn't he have gold medals?
Two. That's what I said. I said he's going to get more in off of the gold medals in his world game than in, I think, the actual career.
Like in the actual NHL career, you mean, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of fair, I think.
Yeah. His playoff stats are better than his regular season stats, too. So
if San Jose won a cup, would be without, or a couple cups when they were like the dominant team out west.
Yeah, when he was the captain too.
Yeah.
The issue is he never won a cup. Like, that's the issue, right? Mm-hmm. And he's never won a major award. Usually if you don't have those two things, you don't make it into the hall. Like, you have to have won either a major award or won a couple cups or a cup or led your team.
Or break a record.
Another argument.
Record. Break a record. Yeah.
Which he did. Well, he did, right?
So that, like, there you go. And I that's a big record.
Yeah. I think one of the best comparables for getting into the Hockey Hall of Fame would be Roberto Luongo, because Roberto Luongo also never won a cup, but he did a lot for the, like, I think Canada at those tournaments.
But Luongo was one of, if not the best goalie since 2006. Right.
Yeah.
Until he was almost just before he retired. Right. He was like the best goalie in the league. Marlowe was maybe in the top 50 forwards in the NHL in the prime of his career. Somewhere around I'd argue.
There's probably an argument for top 30, for top, even maybe one or two seasons, top 20. Maybe.
When him and Thornton were killing it together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's no debate. San Jose was a great team in the late 2000s, early 2010s, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can also argue maybe Thornton wouldn't have had the career he had without Marlowe. You know?
I mean, like, Thornton's a pretty elite player.
I think the better argument is that Marlowe wouldn't have had the career without Thornton.
Yeah, it's a better statement.
But Marlowe was going to the Hall of Fame because of his, not because of his scoring. He's going into the Hall of Fame because he's lasted long. He would have lasted long with Clark. I don't think playing with Joe Thornton impacted that. It might have impacted his points per game rates, right? Maybe instead of a couple 80-point years, he would have only had 60 points throughout his career. But
I think he deserves to be in just because of the record.
Yeah. I think that Joe Thornton's going to be a Hall of Famer for sure.
Oh, Jordan Thornton's a lock. He's a lock. First overall pick. Like, how many 100-point seasons? One, two?
Yeah.
Oh, only two, actually. That's surprising. Oh, he had a 58
But that was in the dead era. That was in the dead puck era.
Yeah, and he had a 58 game year and put up 92 points.
What the hell?
So he was kind of doing almost McDavid numbers back in 2005. Yeah. Actually, McDavid's on pace right now for like 93 points or something like that.
Thornton's
games.
An elite guy. He also has like multiple gold medals and stuff.
I think like Luongo and Marlowe were all on the same teams.
The most bizarre thing for Thornton is how many goals he has in his career versus his. It is so weird. Like, you, whenever you look at 80, 90, 100 point guys, you see 30 goals, usually minimum. So Joe Thornton's the only guy who's like 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20. And then there's a bunch of years with like 18, 7, 10.
But they'll have like 55 assists to go with it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he had an 82-point year in 2015 with 19 goals.
Yeah.
Like,
dude, his 114-point year was 92 assists. That's insane.
Exactly. It's insane. And his highest goal scoring year was 37 goals in like his fourth year in the league, and he never replicated that.
He got 36 one year.
Oh yeah, I do see that. So two 30 goal years and then just stopped. So
I think Marlowe will be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. I just think there is an argument that could be made against putting him in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
I wouldn't say he's a lock by any means.
Who's slapping their desk? It's either Martin or Ty.
I don't have a desk. I'm on my bed.
I think it was Ty hitting his computer.
I'm on my bed.
Well, someone's hitting something. You need to stop.
He just did it again as he put his hand.
No. That was a different sound. It sounds like a knocking sound.
Okay.
I'm not doing anything.
But
I heard the noise, but I'm not doing it.
Okay, then it's Ty.
I don't know how I can be. What the hell am I touching?
I don't know. Maybe it's Eric.
You're doing something. My hands are in my pocket.
Okay. I don't know. I heard something. I want you to stop. Producer Luke coming in. And this is a good. Anyways. This is a great place for ads. So here they are. Okay. And we're back.
Okay. So that's the Patrick Marlowe debate.
We haven't done that in so long.
I know. And it's really hard to transition into It's I just pick a random spot. I normally finish. I try to find where we finish a topic and then throw in the ad.
Every podcast I listen to, they're just like, okay, and we'll talk now, like, and we'll be right back after. And then they actually plan it after a topic. We just talk and then say, Luke, put it in there somewhere. Yeah. Podcast does it professionally, and we're just like, yeah, Luke, just throw it in when you can, please.
I try. This is what I have to work with people. No,
we're not. We're very unprofessional. No,
we're really not. Also, Thornton had 7 points in his first NHL season.
We're done with the topic.
I just wanted to say that.
We're done with that topic.
Bizarre. I didn't know that. 7 points in his first season.
Yeah, they
always ran out of town.
Joe Thornton's always the guy when a first round overall pick does poorly. That Joe Thornton's always the guy that where they're like, I'll just look at him.
Yeah. No, I knew he did poorly. I didn't know 7 points in 55 games poorly.
Well, McKinnon was pretty bad for his first two or three seasons, wasn't he?
No, McKinnon was good his first
McKinnon
year.
McKinnon was really
then
good.
Shit.
Yeah, his best year was his first year, and then like 3 years later he replicated it or something.
I thought he wasn't that good in his first year, the first couple of years.
No. He just had Colorado was just a disaster with McKinnon. Yeah, his first season.
His 18-year-old season was good.
Yeah, McKinnon's first season, 63 points. His second season, 38 points. And then he didn't match that 63 points again until 4 years later. So,
gotcha. Yeah. Okay, now we're going to talk about Nylander.
Yeah. So Nylander missed a meeting. Right? Is that what we're talking about?
Are we seriously talking about this?
Well, there's a lot of debate about whether he should be benched or not and what's going to happen there.
The Leafs forward depth. If he didn't play yesterday, would have been god awful because Hyman was also hurt, Mikheyev was hurt. They basically had no other forwards to play, other than so it was an easy forgiveness for Nylander. To be fair, I did read about it. He said he didn't get a text message about it, so he was affected by the Rogers outage, guaranteed. So blame Rogers, not Willie Nylander.
I mean, I think what do you guys think about benching in general, not benching?
That's what I was going to say. That was going to be the natural shift, is that it's going to be a bigger topic about discipline, I guess, external discipline. Because I remember the same thing with Kadri happened quite a bit where he'd miss a meeting or something like that.
Kapanen happened last year.
Think about it for us, right? We've all been late to work. We've all been late for a meeting. We've all, might have missed a meeting at some point. It happens, right? And, maybe you might have your boss going what the fuck, what happened, blah, blah, blah. But most of the time, it's usually just,
Eric, if you're paid $6.9 million a year, you bet your ass, you'd be up at 3 o'clock in the morning. You'd drive through 10 miles of 7-foot snow just to get there on time.
It's also the less exaggerated version of that argument is also fair, which is, we're getting paid $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year, not $6.9 million. So we should be a little bit better with our time management skills when you're making 100 times the money other people are.
I think it's all about accountability, though. They need to show that you need to be there on time.
But it's a mistake, right? It's not like they a lot of the time, anyways. Maybe there's sometimes, but usually it's just a mistake. It's an innocent mistake, right? It's a I thought it was this time, and it happens in games, right? Whenever we talk about you shouldn't be punishing players for trying to do this and making a mistake and so on. Mistakes happen in any job, no matter what you're doing, So that's my take on it. I don't think maybe if it becomes a regular thing, happens multiple times, I agree 100%, bench them or,
I think it has
whatever.
Who knows?
Maybe. All right. But this is the bigger conversation of
the thing is what does benching him really do from a game? You can handle internal, there's other ways of disciplining him internally than not playing a game.
Fines, right? Some teams are like fines.
I think Kadri got fined
late.
I think fines work better.
It would hurt just go. But again, I've never made $6.9 million.
Siakam did, apparently.
Yeah, he just got fined $50K. By the Raptors.
Because he was yelling at his coach, but he was yelling at his coach because he sucks at friggin' basketball, and I've been saying to trade the idiot for 2 years now. But regardless,
That's spicy pee you're talking about there, man.
He's trash. He's garbage.
Yeah?
He's garbage.
I think a Tell fine would probably really be that. Better.
A fine?
No, we're getting off of basketball.
Yeah, we're not talking hoops. I think that, like, if people aren't abiding by your team's values and what they need you to do and time, and they're not punctual, I think that's worthy of a punishment.
Sure, but I don't think it should ever be a one-time thing.
It has to be
two or three times.
Yeah, I also don't think that, like, if it were your team's best player, that if they missed a meeting, you would bench them. Like, I think maybe the Leafs realized that yesterday that Nylander wouldn't get benched.
I don't think you can pick. Like, I don't think you can go, okay, this guy was.
Yeah, late. You have to be consistent about these rules.
You have to be consistent. You have to be. You can't pick and choose, because that creates problems then. That's when players start getting pissed about special treatment, mm-hmm. right? You already have wide disparities between players' pay. You don't want to start treating them differently based off of their, you know, how late they are and all that kind of stuff. That creates...
Guys, why don't conflict. We ever talk about the wage gap within sports and their own team?
Honestly, I don't like the inequality that rookies have. Versus the Drew Doughtys of the world making $11 million for no reason.
If you're gonna pay LeBron $39 million a year, I think every player should make.
I think Spicy P should be making $39 million.
Spicy P's making a super max contract.
Is he?
Whatever that he's making like the max salary.
Yeah, he is.
We're talking hoops again.
Yeah.
I was just talking. I didn't bring up basketball. That was
you did.
Yes, you did.
You did. You brought it up. You said it.
I was just talking about income. He was just like the most disproportionate. He was the most disproportionate income that I could think of. So
you could have said like Lionel Messi making $100.
No, I should have said Matthews and like Adam Brooks or something.
That actually would have been a better example.
Could anybody even tell you who Adam Brooks is other than me and Eric?
No.
Does Mike know who that is?
For a while.
No, he hasn't. He's played like three games.
But he's been around for a while. Like, he was drafted a while ago. He's been a prospect for a while now.
2016, I think.
Yeah.
That's a while ago, dude. It's like 5 years, man.
Martin plays a lot of Chell, so he knows everybody.
Yeah. Adam Brooks gets up to about a 77 overall, usually in GM modes. I'm just throwing that out there. I wouldn't give him any long-term deals, hoping he'll grow. He's like a 77.
Team, man. 77's not even NHL.
Because
they updated their like rankings.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah,
medium bottom six potential.
Yeah, what's up? Why did the NHL do that? They screwed up the ratings so much. It's so weird looking at them. Like, they just nerfed everyone at the bottom, basically. It seemed like when they updated the ratings like a couple years ago.
I like it better, actually.
Yeah?
It works. Yeah, it works better. You just treat them differently.
You treat them like scraps, like the scraps that they are.
Like the guy, yeah. It's harder for some of the guys to make it. But like, you can randomly, they made it better for growth, actually, from guys. Like a 77 can rant, because like this happens, right, in real NHL. A 77 can randomly have like a 20 goal year, and it'll move up to like an 81 in that year.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah. You look at Jason Robertson right now. He's probably like a 75, exactly, but he's on like a 90 point pace.
Yeah.
That guy's
him and Rupe Hintz.
Hey, he's good. Back to discipline. Okay, so would you bench a player in NHL if they missed a practice?
Missed a practice.
I think
yes.
That Nylander's a special case where I think that if he gets benched or there's a threat that he gets benched, he suddenly plays better.
Ty, we're talking big picture. Not Nylander.
Okay, but I'm just saying,
bringing it back to Nylander at every opportunity.
But he's my favorite player in the NHL. He's the Leafs' best forward, especially on the power play, because he's both the passing threat and a shooting threat. But that's besides the point. Idiot. Manny Malhotra, come on, let's figure it out.
That's true. I just think So I think early in the year, it's a lot easier to say, like, we're, you know, we're going to make an example. And it's game one of 82 or 56. I think when you're at game 44 and you're trying to fight for first place, I think that's when it comes a little bit more up for discussion. I think it would have happened if they were like 10 games in, that a discipline would have happened. I don't think at number 44 of 56, it's going to happen.
That's also when the level of player comes into, like, that's when you see disparity, when, like, Adam Brooks shows up late, he's probably getting benched.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't matter. Like, he's just easy change.
It's like, this is your one chance and you show up late. Fuck you.
Yeah. I think that's a bit different
for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit different when you're trying to earn your spot, but.
Yeah.
Like, when you're trying to earn a spot, I think you have to do,
okay,
earn
Jason
your stripes.
Jason shows up late. Already has a spot.
You don't bench him.
Yes, you. Like, now you would.
I think you have to treat everyone evenly. I feel like you can't pick favorites.
That's why it should be.
I'm just
fine,
saying. I think anything would have happened. Game one, anyone would have been benched. Game 44, I don't think it's the same level of decision.
I think it, like, has to be, because that's gonna impact the team. At that point, you're creating conflict.
What I'm saying is, like, if Adam Brooks was late though, then I would say also don't bench him.
Oh, you're okay. So you're saying consistent at the beginning.
Yeah.
You're saying consistent, yeah, but more harsh at the beginning. I see. Okay, I'm an idiot. Yes. My bad.
Yeah, you are.
You are.
I think that's the first time Eric's ever admitted it.
I call myself an idiot constantly, mostly in my head. But
yeah, you know. To in your head, to a mirror. But never on the show. To a mirror. You've heard of positive affirmations, then there's negative affirmations.
Also, this just came out on the news. There's been a hashtag fire Benning banner put up at the Vancouver airport.
Awesome.
Nice.
There was a GoFundMe to go put it up, and now it's officially.
But they've won their last two games. I thought that fire Benning talk was over, because their team's so much better than the Leafs.
Yeah, because they won. You know what? Are we going to have a goalie conversation this podcast?
Oh, my God. Thank you. I've been holding it in.
No, but Ty, you're not allowed to talk about the Leafs.
I'm not.
Okay.
He's going to talk about getting goalie, this new concept that he has.
Getting goalie?
Goal guy.
There are legitimately three goalies in the NHL you can trust to have to be good on a night-in, night-out basis, okay? Talking about Vasilevskiy,
Hellebuck,
yeah, that's another one. I'm just trying to think of all the goalies in the NHL, and
that's Marc-Andre really Fleury, obviously.
Okay, no,
like, second best goalie in the league this year.
Maybe Leonard, maybe like Saros? Shesterkin's always good. Who, Saros?
He's
he's
leading
Saros
the league
because,
right now.
Yeah,
he's leading
Saros
the league right now.
He's a 5'8" king in the crease.
First off, yes, midget. That is correct. First off, yes, that is 100% correct. But secondly, he's also leading the league in save percentage above expected. So
okay,
short kings
that,
for the win. Is
all of that's right. All of that comes from that game against Carolina where they had like 87 high danger scoring chances and won 2-1.
You know what? It doesn't matter where it came from. It all it matters is that it happened.
Okay, so Ty, you have two goals. You've listed two goalies. You said there's three.
There's like, and then maybe there's like half of Robin Leonard and half of Igor Shesterkin. Okay, that's it. I'm tired of goalies ruining teams. Tired of it, and tired of accepting it.
Hashtag cancel goaltending.
Cancel goaltending. How is it? I know you said not to bring it about the Leafs, but how is it that the Leafs' empty net has a higher goal saved above expected or higher whatever than the actual Leafs goalies?
What are you talking about?
I'm not kidding you.
Basically, based off of the shots that teams have taken when the Leafs' net is empty, they should have had X amount of goals, but they've missed more than they have. So the goals saved above expected with an empty net is officially higher than the Leafs' actual goaltending. That's so mathematically funny. Speaking, the Leafs should just constantly play 6-on-5 the entire game.
That's collectively the goalies, right? Jack Campbell himself isn't lower than 1.5.
No, I think it's collectively.
Collectively.
So Jack Campbell is still a better goalie than the empty net.
Theoretically, yes.
Theoretically. But
he's also a little bit of a downturn.
He has skewered me the past 2 weeks. Not only the Leafs losing, but also my fantasy team, because he won 11 in a row, whatever. Great, thank you. And then he just let in 3 goals on 5 shots on Wednesday, ruined my chances of the championship, whatever. It's okay, Campbell. Still love you. But like, goaltending, it doesn't matter how good your team is. It always comes down to your goalie, because your team can be dominating the other team, but the other team will eventually get a chance, will get a shot on goal, and it goes. And if it goes in, you're screwed. Doesn't matter how many chances your team generates. Getting goalied, I figured it out. Getting goalied doesn't mean that the other goalie's standing on his head. It just means the other goalie was less shit than your team's goalie. Simple as that.
Are you taking that from Mike Johnson? Because I think he just said that on the Jay Onrey Sports Center show.
I said this last night. Didn't I?
Yesterday morning.
Well, I didn't. I didn't hear this. I don't even know.
Ty getting called out again right now.
I swear to God, So he literally said it in relation to the Leafs, and he's like, they got goalied both ways. In the past 2 games against Vancouver, they got goalied by Holtby being unreal, and then they got goalied by Riddick just sucking. So Mike Johnson came up with this.
That was almost an all-time bad goaltending performance.
That was 2 of the worst goals, like the first one, slap shot, 5-hole. Okay, whatever. It happens. But then that next, oh my, that Tanner Pearson one. If he moved his leg, it was going to the corner.
It was that missing was the wide worst, margin. Yes.
The worst goal I have ever seen a goalie let in. And that includes the Vesetosk 198-foot shot. That was the worst goal I have ever seen. Because... Like Holtby had a good game, whatever. But like
but Ty, what's the solution? What's the solution to this problem?
No goalies.
Break it down.
The solution to this problem is to stop giving goalies long term deals and counting on goalies. You can never count on a goalie forever. Yeah.
But you just said Hellebuyck and Vasilevskiy.
There's two goalies on big contracts
with long term.
Yeah. But that's not even fair, because like both those guys have bad runs and it can fuck their team.
Hellebuyck was bad like 2 years ago, right, or 3 years ago, and then he became a Vezina winning goalie.
Yeah, the season before he didn't have a great year.
But now he's unreal. Like you actually can't score on that guy.
Also,
Hellebuyck was weird because he came into the league insanely good. Then dropped off, then came back.
I thought you always said Vasilevskiy was only a product of Tampa Bay.
He's been pretty sick this year.
No, he was largely a product of Tampa Bay, and now he's just Tampa Bay.
Himself?
Now he's like leading Tampa Bay. Like,
what if Vasilevskiy didn't have Victor Hedman for his career?
I mean, we wouldn't have looked at him as good early on, but right now he'd still be insanely good.
Now, right now he's insane. I know that Saros has taken over for the expected goals saved above average, whatever that stat is, but
he's played less
games. The majority of the year has been Vasilevskiy.
The biggest problem with goalies, though, and giving them long-term contracts is, will Vasilevskiy do this next year? Like,
that's what
I could easily
though.
See him just like being.
He's goalie. Not. He's he, Vasilevskiy no is guarantee. So good though.
Yeah, exactly.
He is good, but
he's good.
He can suddenly become bad. Like Bobrovsky carried Columbus in the playoffs to beat Tampa, swept Tampa because Bobrovsky was better than Vasilevskiy.
To be fair, the regular season though, Bobrovsky wasn't good that year.
That's
he had like
true.
A he had a very low save percentage.
Goalies is all about finding those guys that are consistent more than like. Look at the Hamburglar had the 25 game stretch and is literally out of the NHL the next year, I think. So it's all about guys like Vasilevskiy. Sure, he might have
Quick,
downturn.
Quick was consistent for about 9 years.
don't know about that.
Quick.
That was a Jonathan product Quick of was
well also was that LA. Was a product of LA giving up 18 shots a night. Like you can throw me in net, I'll get a shutout every night.
Probably not, but
I doubt that time.
But also quick is like a weak wrist shot from the point. Quick will go in the splits and do like a friggin' cartwheel to make the save.
No,
what's your point?
Quick was the most exaggerated goalie ever. Like he would just make the most insane saves, but it wasn't actually an insane save. He just made an insane move to save a puck that was going like right at him.
And I loved it.
He was very soccer goalie-esque. Like Martin, you know in soccer how goalies make the most like dramatic dives for no reason?
Yes.
That was Jonathan Quick.
It was like me when I played water polo one year.
You played
like
water
the slow mo just dive.
It was me whenever I played ball hockey goalie or like street hockey goalie. Trying to catch all the nice saves.
The windmills.
Like those contracts, those long-term contracts for goalies, more often than not, will screw your team over.
Well, like, it's not even just more often than not. It's almost every time.
Every time.
It's just a matter
of when.
More than,
like, 3 years. More than 3 years at, like, $4 million.
Like
I'm a GM. I just stay away from it.
How long does Carey Price have left?
6 years, I think.
He was the best goalie for a couple of years, and that then, like, since the contract.
Yeah, he was insane for 2 years. For two mm-hmm. years, he was the best. He won the Hart Trophy, right? He was the best player in the league as a goalie.
I mean, he had to – I know goals against average is, like, awful, but the Canadiens' defense was never elite, and he had a 1.96 goals against average. He was literally letting in less than two goals a game. That's that's insane. And then the year after that is
– numbers.
Yeah. And then, unfortunately, he got injured – and was never as dominant since. Like, he had that 12-game year in 2015-2016. And then, you know, he had another good year. But then after that, he's just been quite mediocre.
Don't quote me on this, but I think he also had kids around that time, too.
I said this before. NHL players, a lot of the time, they get worse after having kids. Or at least that first year.
Man, it just makes sense.
It just ruins your routine.
It literally just makes sense.
Yeah, you're tired and it ruins your routine.
What's going on in the background of your house, buddy?
It's not mine. It's not my house. Swear to God.
Whose house is thumping?
Because I hear it on my headphones.
Is it? I don't think it's Martin. It's got to be you. Take out one of your headphones.
I feel like
just
because
you can hear on your headphones doesn't mean it could be in your house, buddy.
Well, whatever.
I feel like there has not
someone's
been
like falling
noises.
Down the stairs multiple times. Is what it sounds like. Either someone's concussed.
Yeah, like, what
I
is
hear
that?
It right now. I hear that right now. It's in my headphone, not in this ear that doesn't have a headphone in it. So fuck you guys.
It could be like my neighbors banging on the wall.
That's probably your neighbor's
I blame
Ty.
I'm definitely blaming
Ty.
Okay, could be me. Could be me living in a townhouse.
I hear other humans now.
Yeah,
I hear Mom, can you stop talking, please? Thank you.
Is it actually your mom?
Yes.
Oh, dude, I love my mom would beat the shit out of me if I said did that.
Dude, same.
Oh, man.
So
if
speaking
I was
like,
of mom.
So speaking of women, the women's IIHF team.
Oh, what a good transition, Luke. I'm so proud
of you. A terrible transition.
They got told to shut up. Basically said they're not playing this year.
I mean, I said this before the podcast, but you know, you should have expected that to happen when you try to throw a tournament in Canada when we're, you know, in an insane lockdown and whatever, Nova Scotia, they're having it or whatever. This was expected. I think the tournament in Texas is still going to go on as far as my knowledge. They should have originally just foreseen this and went to the States anyways, because it was very obvious from
care.
Even 6 months ago. Yeah, they
US
don't care.
Care.
So they would always be fine with it.
Well, the U.S. is rolling out vaccines like nobody's business. So like
that also.
It's a little,
but also in Texas, there's a whole bunch of anti-vaxxers. You think they'll let you put the government chip in them? No way.
Yeah, regardless, they should have foreseen this. That was bad planning on their part, honestly. I kind of blame, like, obviously, you know, not the organizers worked hard, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, I feel like a lot of us could have predicted this 5 months ago or 4 months ago or 3 months ago.
It's pretty foreseeable.
Going, you probably should do this in the States because Canada's a lot more strict. And now it's
and I also don't think they, I don't think they could have the resources available to you know, do the testing every day for hundreds and hundreds of players, right?
Yeah, they probably Canada
did just host that curling thing that went on.
But isn't the curling just in Canada? But wasn't it just the Canadians, or was it like a world tournament?
They had a world tournament after the Canadian tournament.
I think curling's also a little bit easier to manage.
Yeah,
you're talking about a team of 30 people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're already socially distanced, basically.
Yeah. It's, it's a little bit easier.
And as long as you're testing all the time, like, be pretty easy.
I'm also guessing they needed to even do it. They're probably not making enough from TV revenue to cover their expenses.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of money.
They probably needed it in Nova Scotia with fans for it to make financial sense. I'm guessing.
Whoa, what they need for curling to be active is for bowling alleys to be open, because that's the only place you ever see curling on TV is bowling alleys.
Well, we're talking about women's hockey here.
Yeah, we were talking about women's hockey.
You were talking about curling.
So confused. No, we were not.
You were just talking about curling.
They had just moved on. Oh, my bad. I was a little confused at first, but then you said Nova Scotia, and I was like, oh, that's where the hockey is, so... He's moved on.
Well, it made sense in my head. I'm sorry.
Well, curling doesn't have. Does anyone even watch curling to begin with? Really? Like,
it's one of my favorite winter sports to watch.
But I watch it during the Olympics. Curling. I watch it during the Olympics. I ever watch it. But I've never watched it otherwise.
Does anyone only watch like a lot of
sports at the bowling alley too?
I guess. Sure.
Sometimes I watch poker, but that's it.
I do watch a bit of poker, mostly clips though. I don't watch just like live.
No, me
really
fascinating. I love poker, dude. Like watching Daniel Negreanu like just kill people and like just call exactly what they have in their hands freaks me out.
I always like the obnoxious players, the ones that talk too much and then annoy everyone else. Those are my favorite. That's exactly how I would play.
I'm never playing with Luke. It's
very off brand for Luke.
Yeah, I know. I was about to say that. What? Too. It does not seem like.
You don't think I'm obnoxious?
No, you are obnoxious, but you're not like, you know, run your mouth at the table obnoxious.
Yeah.
You guys like, don't those guys know are me really, very well.
Those guys are really obnoxious.
I'm definitely a run my mouth at the table kind of guy.
Okay, we got to play poker soon, sometime.
We do.
We did in my basement one day. Like 2 years ago.
Oh
yeah.
Don't you remember that?
Oh, we did. I won. Yeah,
I won.
You guys all suck.
No one was trying.
Nobody was really trying.
Robert started playing NHL.
Robert gives up within 20 minutes of playing.
Robert's a very bad poker player. He does not have Robert's the patience. Robert's very bad.
Yeah,
he's always been awful.
I would love to play with Eric and Martin for sure. I used to play.
Come to my house. Come to my house.
Then Martin bought a new house in June.
Martin, you bought a house?
I closed in June.
Martin, I didn't know you bought a house. Congratulations.
Shut up.
Hey, Martin, have you ever considered insuring your home with Sonnet?
Oh, I love it, Ty. Get those business connections.
That's not even his job. He's gonna get a huge. He's gonna get a sale for them. Gonna get another promotion.
Wait, Ty, what is your job? I always forget.
He answers emails.
Sort of. Nothing? You do nothing?
Emailing?
Please.
Shut up.
Wait, is Ty the new Barney Stinson now? Is that it's not Martin anymore. It's Ty.
It's me.
Ty's the new mysterious. Yeah.
Did talk to a girl at work today. So.
Whoa.
Not like that at all.
Oh.
I don't have any...
Honestly, you talking to a girl is already a good step. You know?
Yeah, it's impressive.
Step in the right direction. Is this patronizing? I don't know. Probably, yes.
Ty tried to give me shoot the shot advice for asking out Austin Matthews' sister today.
That was amazing. I was dying during that conversation. I was on a work meeting trying not to laugh. Oh my God.
I was just like,
and then Luke was like, I'm not taking advice on shooting your shot from Ty. And I freaking died. I was like, oh no. No, Ty. But yeah, Luke, you should shoot your shot with Matthew's sister because that would just be a good story to tell. Honestly, just do it for the story.
Do it for the story.
Even if she doesn't respond, I once DM'd Kylie Jenner and she didn't respond, but you know, it's a story.
Nah, that's not for the story. That's not a story.
In other news, I think Austin Matthews' sister is dating Frederick Anderson's like relative or something. It's a ginger whose last name's Anderson. Looks exactly like Fred. Like, that's just my hypothesis.
Anderson has a younger brother who's like,
how many DMs 20? Do you think like Kylie Jenner gets from creepy guys per day?
Bro, like tens of
hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands, yeah. I
not
think
a day.
So.
Probably like
there's
tens
girls,
of thousands.
There's girls with like 1,200 followers on Instagram who get DMs on
Sure.
Galore.
Get creepy ones from guys, man. Oh, yeah, for sure. It's wild.
It's wild. There's
guys are fucked.
I've only ever shot my shot once on Instagram and it worked.
I only do it if I have something in common, like if I have followers in common. That's the only time. If it's a random girl,
I saw her on Tinder, and then I'm like, okay, I don't think she's gonna match with me. She's way too pretty. So, but she had her IG, and I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna actually do it. I'm gonna shoot my shot. So I sent her a message on Instagram. Caught her at like the perfect time. She was drunk, so she was really happy to like answer any messages. Basically, is how it worked out. Then we went on a date. We went to a Blue Jays game. And then I found out she was my best friend's next door neighbor.
Oh,
like,
you told us
in Toronto. Yeah. Crazy. Absolutely wild.
What are the odds? It's a small world out there.
What are the odds? And then, we don't talk.
There was another time Luke shot a shot online,
So it worked for a bit.
It worked for a bit. We went on like 2 or 3 dates.
Long term, not so well.
But listen, Luke also shot a shot with a girl on TikTok. She was doing a Q&A, you know, like the Q&As, and he asked her a question. What's your favorite restaurant in Toronto? And she answered it and we caught him.
Yeah. I don't even remember asking the question. It's okay. So No. So this girl, she's from Toronto. She has a TikTok. She's pretty big on TikTok. Then I followed her Instagram from her TikTok. On her Instagram, she did a Q&A because it was her first YouTube video. So she was doing a Q&A, ask me any type of thing. And I responded like, what's your favorite place, I guess, in Toronto? And then she made a video like a month later. So I completely forgot. I didn't even watch the video. Dylan, another friend, watches the video, which is even more sus and like more shoot your shot than me. Like,
that's true. That is true.
It's like, caught you in 4K. And now all the guys roast me because I did a question. But no one roasts Dylan for even watching the video. That's a way more of a sick group.
Yeah, because watching one of their YouTube videos is way more effort than just responding to a story.
Well,
it takes 1 second to respond to a story. He spent a couple minutes going through that YouTube video.
So Eric, what do you think her answer was to her favorite restaurant in Toronto?
Oh, it made me unattracted to her so quick.
Don't give it to him.
Oh no. What is it?
Just take a guess.
Just take a guess. It's a university spot.
Oh, is it like Queen Street Warehouse or something?
Yeah.
Oh, stop. It's not Queen Street Warehouse. Oh, my Lord.
It was just actually, it was all warehouses.
No, that's an automatic.
Warehouse
that's an automatic no. That's an Cactus Club. Okay, that's the other one. Yes. No, but to be fair, Cactus Club's pretty fire. Not going to lie. Love Cactus Club. Queen Street Warehouse, though, or any of the warehouses. Oh my God, that's an automatic, like, unattractive.
It's the worst place for a date, man.
Girl
you
could
can't
be
hear
nine,
anything.
And she automatically turns to a 6 just off that answer.
Yeah, the only
I don't
reason
understand
like
what's
any...
going on.
Okay, so Martin,
we have one of those in Ottawa. There's a
girls love
there's...
that place warehouse.
In I know,
dude, and okay, I don't understand it. It's not good.
The only positive is that it's cheap. So if it's a great date spot because it's cheap. You can buy like 4 meals for like 20 $2.
I was just going to say, I've never been, but I did go, and it is stupid cheap.
Yeah, it's like $5, and you can get a bunch of food and $3 chicken wings there.
I got the chicken wings there. It was like 7 wings for $7, and they were like the worst wings I ever had. There wasn't even like any chicken on the
Yeah, the food isn't good. It's not even good food.
The food isn't good. The drinks are just like your typical drinks.
There's a reason why it costs $6 for a meal. There's a reason. It's not good.
So the problem was that she said that's her favorite restaurant. She said that's her, when someone says that's her favorite restaurant in Toronto, a city with
I respect Cactus Club. If you say Cactus Club, I respect it. It's really basic. It's really basic, but they have really good food at least.
It'd be like saying the Keg. Like it's one that's
better than the Keg, I think. But yes, you're right. It's a very basic. There's so many better restaurants out there for sure. You can go to like Jacob's Steakhouse, and
I wouldn't call that shooting my shot. But
shout out to Jacob's Steakhouse.
I did get caught during the pandemic. Is that the one that was trying to like allow people in without masks?
No,
that was the Texas barbecue. What was it called? Whatever. Yeah, I don't remember.
Jacob's Steakhouse is like a really high-end steak place downtown. It's really good. It's really expensive. Like you're dropping $200-$300 per meal, but on the cheap side, but it's amazing.
Luke, I would never do that.
You got to take. You got to say your favorite bar in Toronto is Harbor 60.
Yeah, Ty took me there after.
You took Ty on a date though? That was cute.
No, he took him there. Come on.
Oh, right.
Come Ty on. Why would I?
Sorry about that.
And then we ended up staying
I'm the woman in the relationship with Ty. imagine that.
Right?
Front row tickets at the Leafs game. Harbor 60 afterwards. Come on.
Yeah, you know what? Ty like took you out on the town, eh? Mm-hmm. Like that's a hot you honestly, Ty, I'm kind of
just I didn't even put out at the end, to be honest.
I know. Like, it was kind of rude.
You gotta keep him wanting.
He was hitting on these girls on the GO train home instead the whole
way. I was. I wasn't hitting on them. They fall asleep or something? Yeah. And I'm like, hey, like, I think this is your stop. And yeah. Then they were both
How
asleep.
Did you know it was their stop?
I'm real confused, that's man.
Because I heard them before they fell asleep. They're like, "We need to wake up for Mount Joy or something," and we get off at Markham, and I was like, "Hey, I think yours is." They said something. It wasn't odd of me, I don't think.
Anyway,
it wasn't unprompted. It wasn't unprompted.
Sure. Sure. If you say so.
I'm not that kind of guy.
That was like that was a blast.
Up on IG. He found their addresses.
Yeah, that would be a Dylan move for sure.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Dylan wants girls like you. Dylan wants girls IG's like code like on their forehead so he can do live QR scanning in public.
Oh, what the fuck? Dylan should not be allowed to be single. Oh God.
Is there anything else we wanted to talk about, or are we just going to end off? I think everyone's going to be faded off by the time they get to this point anyway.
Yes,
so
definitely.
I hope you enjoyed our stories. I hope you enjoyed our little bit of next week. We're going to let Ty give 30 minutes of dating advice to all of our followers.
And nobody will ever get a date.
It's going to be about 10 seconds of Ty talking and then 29 minutes and 50 seconds of silence.
And that's the advice. Do that.
Yeah.
Never make a move.
I can give 30 minutes of dating advice in 10 minutes. Okay. Come on.
Yeah. Honestly, that's a great sales pitch.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to episode 59. 10 more, and we're at episode 69. Nice.
Then we'll stop it there.
But yeah, thank you everyone so much, and we'll see you all next week.
Bye.
Thank you everyone for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K, and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.